All right. So this is week four of, I titled it Healing School, and it's where we come and learn. Think about this. We come to learn how to act like who we are. We're not coming to get something we don't have. We're coming to learn what we already got and learn how to use it. This class is all about teaching you how to be who you are. Not coming to get something you don't have. The verse is Proverbs 18:21? Okay. Yes. All right. So each week I've been asking different people to come up and share kind of their journey when they first started seeing God heal people and how that affected their thinking and things like that. So this week, Joe has agreed to come up and share with us. So let's give Joe a round of applause.
Well, I appreciate Neil asking me to speak. Let me first say, just like he had said earlier, I am not the super Christian. I'm not the person that has arrived, and I'm not the person that is up here in God's standards and everybody else is down there. I'm just an ordinary Joe, old football coach. I used to coach at Apex High School. And I've gotten involved in this healing stuff and been in this class now for almost 2 years. And it's just amazing what I've learned and how the Lord has used me. But to start off with, I just want to give you a little bit of my background so you'll know where I came from and where I'm at now. Baptist background. All my life, pretty much been in Baptist church. To hear things like healing, casting out demons, and things like that, you're not going to hear that, at least in the churches I was involved in. But when I was had just retired from teaching, we went with a church plant from our church, and we were put on the prayer team, my wife and I, Janice, and it was six people on that team. And the first day of the new church plant at this school, three people showed up, myself, my wife, and this guy named Jack. And I've got a few people here that know him. When we were praying the first couple of weeks, it didn't take myself or my wife long to realize that he was different. He prayed with authority, just like Joanna did. He prayed things that I had not thought about, and he prayed and spoke about healing, casting out demons, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, what's that? And so I'm starting to learn these things. He had since left that church plant and was going to Cary Church of God. They have a mission trip every year that they go to Ecuador. They had been doing it for like 21, 22 years. And so he went. And in the meantime, he had asked me, did I want to work at his printery? He needed somebody to deliver. Since I was retired, I figured, yeah, why not? So I did. So he comes back from that mission trip talking about, you should have seen these people that we healed. God just worked through us in so many different ways. And he started naming all the things. And I cast out three demons. And I'm thinking, wow. All I used to hear about was salvation. Nothing about healing. I had read the Bible. Even when I was saved in high school, I had read the Bible through, didn't really have anybody to mentor me. Well, Jack started doing that. And he was talking about these things that had taken place at this trip. So the next year, I decided I was going to go. And that was an eye-opening experience. When you go to a third world country, they don't have medicine. They don't have anything but belief in the Lord. And so when we would have our what we call crusades on Friday and Saturday at the end of the week, there would be 600-700 people there. And the pastor would do his preaching, and then we'd have an altar call for healings or whatever they needed. So I got a chance to experience it firsthand. Janice and I were a team the second year. The first year she didn't go, so I was just by myself, and I still didn't know a whole lot except what Jack had taught me. And so I was praying, commanding things to come out. Some were healed, some weren't. I didn't know why, but I knew I was happy for the ones that I had been able to pray for and were healed, and the others I was thinking, well, hopefully he'll heal them down the road. And so after about 4 years of going through that, and I know the second year, Janice and I, like I said, we were a team since we are married and we are a team. And she prayed for this one woman. She couldn't hear. And so after she finished praying for her, and she turns, ask her if she can hear. And the lady said, yeah. And so I witnessed that. I witnessed about a 40-minute deliverance from... I was on the prison team, so I was in the prisons, and we were in the women's prison this day, and this girl named Erica, Jack, myself, and about three others were praying over her to deliver all these evil spirits. Now, you talk about something weird. When a little girl about 5'3" and real high voice all of a sudden says, "I don't want to get out," that'll freak you out. That's not the normal thing. I'm sure Neil's had that before also, but I saw that happen. And so after 4 years of being in Ecuador for a week each year, it was just amazing. And then I got involved with a ministry that's called Life and Faith, and I'm on the board there, and we go to the Dominican Republic. So here's my second stage of my journey. I go to the Dominican Republic, and... last year, I went three times. We built a house for a pastor down there. And so the second time when I went, Janice, my wife, went with me, and I spoke one night, and it was a lot like tonight. It wasn't me, but the spirit was there. It was thick. You could tell it. So after the end of my preaching, I asked my wife to come up, and anybody need healing and anything like that, come up. We'll be glad to pray for you. So they start coming one at a time. And we had about 20 to 25 people that came. Everyone was healed. Everyone. I kept looking at Jose, the leader of our group. How does she feel? How does she feel? How does he feel? They say they're healed. Couldn't raise an arm. They raise an arm like you're talking about. The guy had a heart palpitations. They were beating irregular. He said, feels good. Feels good. So... again, I'm not any super Christian. It's just be available. Be available. So we've done that in the Dominican Republic. Now here, the last 6 months or so, we've had people from our old church to call, ask us to come and pray for either them or people that they know. And I found out through a friend of mine, an ex-player, he lives in the western part of the state and has a ministry called Salt and Light. One of his friends that I didn't actually teach her, but they went to school at Apex together when I was teaching there. And she asked my wife and I to come over and pray. To make a long story short, basically their son had fallen off, broken his arm from the monkey bars. She asked their elders to pray for him. She felt pretty good, but like a good mom, she felt like maybe I should get a second opinion. And so she goes to another doctor. Oh, that's bad. Bones are sticking all this way. And she did actually show us a picture of the x-rays, and looked like the wrist had been turned that way to that way, and the bones were sticking up. And that doctor said, the second opinion, get surgery. He needs surgery. So she was all confused, and she... called us and wanted to know if we could come over on a Sunday, and we were busy, but we said, we'll come over on a Monday. So we went to their house, and she had told us we're going to UNC Pediatric Orthopedics to get a third opinion, but we want you to pray because we believe in healing. So Janice and I went over and had a chance to sit down and just talk with them. I like sometimes to read scripture, so we read some healing scripture just to kind of reinforce them and maybe to reinforce me a little bit. But so we prayed for it. And the next day we get a text from her, and she says, the doctor says he does not need surgery. The bones are in exact alignment, that nothing's sticking up. It's healing already. It looks like it's just about healed. 3 or 4 more weeks and he's fine. And so again, I give praise to the Lord. But what was funny about that was Daniel, the guy from Salt and Light, he told her we had a healing and prayer ministry, which I didn't know we had that, but if the Lord wants to give me that title, okay, I'll take it, but I really don't. I mean, it's just be available. When you're out and about, if you see somebody in a grocery store or at work or something, which I've prayed for people at our work, I got a headache. Well, let me pray for that. Let me pray for that. Oh, that's all right. No, seriously, I think I can take care of it. The Lord wants to heal you. And they've let me pray, and things like that have gone away. I had a guy that used to ride with me to work at this printery. One day he had an earache as we were riding. He was talking. I kept looking at him outside my corner of my eye, and he was messing with his ear. I said, Jesse, what's wrong? He said, I got a bad earache. I said, well, when we get to the shop, I'll pray for it, and we'll take care of it, okay? Sure. And he kind of chuckled. He didn't believe me. And so we got there, and I put my hand on his ear, and I just, like Neil teaches us, and Jack had told me also, in the name of Jesus, pain come out, be gone. You're going to hear okay, and you're not going to have any pain. I looked up and said, how's it feel? I don't feel a thing. And so you just got to believe. You just got to believe. I am not anything special. I am definitely not anything special. And just be available. Be available. People, you know, have I had everybody be healed? No. Do I know why? No. Is it lack of my faith? I don't know. But I know one thing. I'm going to be available, and I'm going to just do whatever the Lord tells me. Even if it sometimes sounds crazy, I'm going to do what He tells me and let the chips fall, because I believe it is God's will to heal. He wants to heal everybody. Where that disconnect comes, I don't know, but as long as I'm praying, I'm going to believe that they're going to get healed. And so I just encourage you to do it. You're all special in God's eyes, so just do it. And I even have heard of, in our small group on Tuesday night, somebody was talking about the way one guy that he knows pray is how he prays. He just says, God, do it. And people have been healed. So just do it.
All right. Thank you, man. Thanks, man. That's great. Tonight, what I thought we were going to talk about is not what we're going to talk about. If you will turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 4. And while you're turning there, if you haven't already, I have an email list sign up on the table over there. If you're interested in getting emailed recordings of this class, just put your email address on there and just write in print so I can read it. Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 40. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, talking about Jesus. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And this kind of passage is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John several times. I believe there's about 21 specific healing stories that are with individuals, but things like this are scattered throughout, where it's not telling you each event. It just says a whole bunch of people came and he healed everybody that was sick. And that's over and over in there. And in fact, that is always the case. Anytime it says a sick person came to Jesus, it always says that he healed them. There's no example of any other end result. Every time someone came to Jesus to be healed, he healed them. Now, something that we talk about in here regularly is that Jesus, if you wanted to, once his ministry began, when the Holy Spirit descended on him, when he was age 30, you could take a look at the way he spent his time, and you could group a lot of it into three main categories. One of them is something we just read. It was healing the sick. A Okay. Another one we read also. Does anyone know what this is? Casting out demons. And then anybody know what the third one is? Preaching or teaching the gospel of the kingdom. So if you hung around with Jesus at all, or followed him around, or heard stories about him, this is what you would see. When Jesus had a meeting, this is what happened. You could probably, I think it's impossible to do the math, but it's probably about a third of his time on each one. Because when you take stories like multitudes came to him and he healed all of them, just think how long that would take. So Jesus went around healing the sick, casting out demons, and preaching the gospel. One of my favorite verses in the Bible sums up his ministry in this way. This is Acts 10:38, if you just want to write it down. It's a good one to memorize. It said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's Peter summarizing Jesus' life. He went around healing everybody that was oppressed of the devil. Another way you could look at all three of these is these are all ways to rescue people that are messed up in some way. So if someone's sick, he would heal them. If someone's under a demonic oppression, he would set them free from that. If someone is distant from God or under condemnation or feels left out, he would bring them in. He would preach the good news. He was always rescuing people. And I think we talked about in here a week or two ago, Jesus' name is actually a contraction of two Hebrew words, Jehovah Yasha, which spells Yeshua when you make the contraction, and it means Jehovah rescues, or Jehovah saves, or Jehovah heals. So actually what his name is God rescues. That's what God, one part of God's character he was revealing to us when he named his son. And every time we say the name of Jesus, we're saying God rescues. Isn't that awesome? So Jesus went around doing this, and he had all these people coming to him, and he developed a following, which I can imagine I would have been wanting to watch what was going on too. And then over in Luke, we're still in Luke, let's go over to Luke chapter 9. So there's a group of people that have been following him around for a while. And then Jesus does this in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 1. It says, he then called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. So Jesus has been healing the sick, casting out demons, and preaching the gospel, making disciples. Then he calls a group together, and this is the first time he's choosing people to go out and be his representatives. They are supposed to go out and represent Jesus. And the highest calling of a disciple is to represent your master accurately. And so when he commissioned them, he told them to do exactly what he had been doing. That way, when someone sees one of his disciples, that they would have an accurate view of Jesus. Jesus, as we're going to see, never, ever, in the Bible, sent out anyone to represent him without giving them authority and commission to do these three things. Okay? Now let's say that I'm one of the 12 and I'm there and I hear Jesus say, you guys, I give you authority. Now let's talk about authority for a second. When I say authority, what do you think that means? What does that make you think of? Authority. Empowerment? Empowerment in what way?
Well, that you have an official capacity and power within that capacity.
You have an official capacity and power within that capacity. Did you have
control over?
Can you elaborate that on that a little bit?
Just like these things, you know, control over healing and demons and preaching the gospel. You've got control.
Okay.
Control to do that.
So we have empowered, we have control. Any other words? Yes, sir?
You have just a spiritual connection.
Spiritual connection. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
Well, you have to believe what you're doing, so you have a connection spiritually with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so he's saying that you have to have a spiritual connection with God, with the Holy Spirit, to believe that you can actually do what he's telling you to do. Very good. Yes?
Permission.
Okay, so I'm going to give you my definition for authority, which has permission in it. I look at authority as permission to act without permission. Authority is permission to act without permission. Permission or delegated right to act without having to come and check if it's okay or not. Think about if you work somewhere and the owner of the company gives you authority over some area of the business. Well, that person that gave you that authority gave it to you expecting you to handle it and not come ask them every time something needs to happen. Is that true? That's authority. You have authority. Authority means that you have the right to act without having to check in.
So they have
for permission.
They have God-given power of attorney.
Yes, power of attorney is a great that is exactly right. Power of attorney. Everybody know what power of attorney is? That's the legal right to conduct business on behalf of someone else.
Without having to ask permission.
Without having to ask permission.
Because it's already been granted.
Because it's already been granted. That's very good. And actually, if you think about in a marriage relationship, the wife has the right to act on behalf of the husband. Like if you have a joint account, then either one of you can come make deposits or withdrawals on that account, correct? And the wife would be authorized to conduct business in her husband's name, right?
Yes.
And so in the body of Christ, we are, one of the names for the church is the bride of Christ. Anybody ever heard of that?
Yes.
We are the bride of Christ. And when we do things in Jesus' name, that's what's happening. We are acting on behalf of our husband. We're conducting business in his name, and we have been authorized to do that. We have authority to do that. So they were given authority to go heal the sick without having to check in. And they were given authority to cast out demons without asking permission. And they were given the right to preach the gospel as they saw fit. Now let's imagine again, I'm standing there and I've been given authority to go out and do these things. And then if I go to the next town and I see a sick person, would I wonder if it was God's will to heal them or not? If Jesus wanted me to heal them, would I have to wonder? Why not?
Because you have authority.
Because I have authority specifically to heal the sick. If he told me to do it, I don't have to wonder whether he wants me to do it. Okay? Let's think about another analogy. Let's say you work at a restaurant and they tell you to go take the trash out. The manager tells you to take the trash out. Well, what if you walk over to the trash can and say, I wonder if it's his will for me to take the trash out? Let me go ask him if it's his will. Is it your will for the trash to go out? You'd be looking for a job. Like if he told you to do it, then you don't have to wonder whether it's his will. Do you see what I'm saying?
Like it's like I teach math. It's like telling a student to do something and then 2 seconds later they ask you, what did you just say?
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
I can imagine that's very frustrating. Thank God that he's patient with us. And long-suffering, right? So if Jesus told them, go heal the sick, then they are on good ground if they're assuming it's his will to heal people. That's not being arrogant, and that's not being full of themselves. That is believing what he told them. It's confidence. It's confidence. Okay? Now, what if he told me to take the trash out and when I was getting it out, I ripped the bag and it made a mess? Does that change his will about the trash going out? Because I didn't do it right, or I didn't follow directions properly, or did not behave wisely, does that change his will? No. His will is that the trash goes out. And so if I am commissioned to go out and heal the sick in the name of Jesus, and I don't know everything, and I make mistakes, and I don't do it right, and sometimes I don't represent him accurately, that's unfortunate. I don't like that. I don't want that, but that doesn't change his will. Just because people make mistakes and do stupid things doesn't change God's will. Because I've heard a lot of people preaching on healing saying things that make me cringe. Like, God won't heal you if there's sin in your life. Well, then no one can ever get healed in the history of humanity, if that's true. And that's not true. Think about all the people that Jesus healed. None of them could have been saved because it wasn't possible to be saved until Jesus rose from the dead. Right? Jesus never healed any saved people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were all unsaved. Their sins had not been forgiven. They probably haven't taken time to go back and forgive everybody from their past and all that stuff. Right? I'm hitting some doctrines I've heard before. Hopefully you haven't heard those. But if you have heard stuff like that, where healing depends on how good you are or how good the person praying is, that's all of that is false. Healing depends on how good God is, not how good you are and not how good the sick person is. That's it. That's simple. Another thing in general, when you're learning about healing or casting out demons or the gospel, it's funny how all these three things are dealt with this way. When it starts getting complicated, something's wrong. It shouldn't be complicated. I'm not saying we understand everything, but if you have to jump through all these hoops, something's off somewhere. And again, I'm coming against some things I've heard without saying them.
Physical manifestation of what he did supernaturally with our spirits. And so it was like, for me, when I think about healing, I think about how Jesus was so good to meet people's needs where they were, mm-hmm. and what they needed physically. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when he would feed people,
yes.
when he fed the 5,000, like, he was always about meeting people's needs physically, because it was able to demonstrate his great love for them. Because we are natural beings, and mm-hmm. so we respond to things naturally at mm-hmm. times. And so that was just another, like, point to the goodness
yes.
of his love for us.
One of the things Jesus accomplished in his time here on earth was he displayed the character of the Father accurately, so that we would know how God really is, just like you're saying. He's going around healing people that don't deserve it, and that's how God is. God does things for people that don't deserve it. Isn't that awesome? I mean, we are blessed, y'all. God is just so good. And something that gets under my skin is how these doctrines paint his character in a way that's not accurate. That he's good, but he's withholding for you because you did not perform. I don't believe that kind of stuff. Yes.
That's so the enemy. You know, that can be such a deterrent, because if you think I haven't, you know, gotten forgiveness for my sins, or maybe, you know, God is making me sick, or God wants me to be sick, or I'm not good enough to be healed, that can actually stop you from getting healed, because it's really like in your mind, I shouldn't be, I don't deserve it, God wants it that way, or I, you know,
right.
I haven't done it.
Even so, believing those lies,
yes,
can keep you from going to receive. Right? I think that's what you're saying,
yeah,
right? Yeah, that's absolutely true.
It's like, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about, you know, like when you say God wants to heal everybody, yet not everybody gets healed. How, yeah, you know, and
right,
you know why? And I've actually been thinking about that. Like, well, why is that?
Right.
And, you know, I could actually get that some people don't think that they're worthy of being healed, mm-hmm, or that God has done this to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's their penance, or, you know, they haven't gotten forgiven. It's a punishment.
Right.
Or, you know, that's their cross to bear, or, you know, all that stuff.
Yes.
Here. You know, I also think that sometimes people, they don't want to be healed because they're either, like, afraid, like, what would life be like if I was suddenly well?
That's true.
Or, you know, they've been blind all their life, that they could suddenly, you know, like, it's scary for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to being that way.
Yes.
So they're getting whatever they, you know,
right,
attention or whatever it is.
Correct.
So it's like, it stops us. It's like, we get in the way of God. So if we're not asking, like, willing to be healed.
Willing to receive.
Yeah, if it's, God's not going to force His will on us. If, you know, it's like we've got to have that partnership of willingness.
I believe that. I believe that absolutely.
So that could actually be the thing why somebody would be.
That could be a factor. Absolutely. I believe that. And I've had, let me tell a testimony. So after my wife was healed from several medical conditions. She was in a wheelchair and had lost use of both arms and could hardly walk. She got totally healed August 25th, 2006. And one of her conditions was something called fibromyalgia. And there was a lady at my work that also had fibromyalgia. And we got to know each other, and we would kind of share different things about different doctors, like what's a good doctor on this, or, you know, just stuff like that, just practical advice dealing with this condition. And so after Teresa got healed, I came to work and she saw that I was different. And I said, I have to tell you what happened. And I told her that that Teresa got totally healed. And she was excited. And I was like, yeah, and you can get healed too. And she was reluctant for a while. And I kept telling her these stories and talking to her about it over and over. And then finally one day, she said, well, there's just so many more people that have it worse than I do. Okay? Well, that's a kind-hearted person. Okay? I mean, this lady, that describes her completely. But that is not thinking about it the correct way. Because God is not going to run out. Right. You're not, when you get healed, you're not preventing someone else from getting healed because there's enough for everybody. Okay? But that's a lie from the enemy that was preventing her from receiving. She was not willing to go receive because she thought it was going to be selfish. But hallelujah, she said, you know what? Okay, then I'm coming. And she got healed. She got totally healed. She had fibromyalgia and she had this nerve problem in her face where, like, air couldn't blow on her skin. And it got healed to where she could do that. I mean, it was awesome. But that's an example of she wasn't willing to receive. Now that's not always the factor, but that's one factor. But it wasn't that God wanted her to wait, right? Someone had maybe told her something like that before.
But it's good to know that, because if you're praying over somebody and not getting healed, it might be worth having a conversation with them just to distinguish that for them.
Sometimes it is valuable. Like sometimes when someone starts describing their condition and they will start telling me, well, it's been such a blessing because I learned this and I learned that, which God can teach you through anything. Okay? He can use anything to teach you, but that doesn't mean he caused that. Okay? And so I asked her, I said, do you want to be healed? Like, do you want to be free from this? Because I don't want to be sitting here trying to push something on you you don't want. Because Jesus did not do that. Jesus let people make choices. And so I will say sometimes, well, do you want to be free from this? I don't mean it to be smart. I'm just saying, you know, I want to find out what you want. So that's a good thing to ask sometimes, depending on how the conversation is going. And then sometimes it's helpful in those kind of settings to explain to them, Jesus shows us what God is like. Like, he is the clearest picture of God's character. And we didn't see Jesus going around saying, you guys aren't learning this enough, so let me give you leprosy. That will teach you. You're not learning fast enough, so let me put some sickness on you, and that'll teach you. Jesus did not teach people by making them sick. He could teach people while they were sick, but he didn't make them sick to teach them something. That's completely different. You get what I'm saying?
A couple of weeks ago when you said the biggest war that we were in was the character of God.
Yes.
And it has really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And it just makes sense for all of this, because just in healing, in the healing avenue, I mean, your perception of the character of God is going to impact whether you want to receive, whether you want to go out and try to commit.
Would you mind saying that louder so everybody can hear, because this is very good.
Yeah.
So.
A couple weeks ago in class, Neil had just said that the biggest war that we were in was the understanding of the character of God. And because of that, if you know that God is love, like you understand the beauty of God, it impacts every avenue of your life. And specifically, we're talking about healing. If you believe the goodness of God, then it's going to impact the way that you would receive healing or want to go out and, you know, be a part of that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe that God can heal you, then you're going to receive his healing. If you believe that God heals, you're going to go out and pray for people to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe that, and you, his character, you're challenged by that. Well, does he heal? Well, does he teach us through sickness? If you are challenged in that, it's going to impact how you minister to people and how people receive from you. So that is also something very important when you are ministering to people, to keep in mind, like, scenarios like that. But if you're going out and you're representing God in the love, and, you know, all of his love, at the end of the day, none of that matters, because whether you saw healing or not, sometimes it takes time for manifestation to occur, but you are loving somebody. You are saying, you are worthy for me to lay my hands on you and to just love you. And that, I think we miss that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We're so focused on, do they get healed or not get healed? And it's really about displaying the love and goodness and worthiness of somebody that God views them as important. That is how I feel that what healing is really all about.
It is. It is. And I just want to restate what she said. Your view or understanding of God's character is going to directly impact you in so many ways. When you see him more clearly, you see how good he is, it affects your confidence when you pray. Because you know you're not fighting against him trying to talk him into doing something nice. Right? You know what I'm saying? Did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, similarly, the other side of that coin is understanding your identity in Christ and how God sees you.
Absolutely.
And that directly impacts, again, understanding the authority and the power that he has given us, and that there is no condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a number of things. So,
he was saying it's also important to understand how God sees you, understand your identity. And I believe that very strongly. Yes, Keith.
It's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. So if we're out there showing God's goodness, we don't have to tell them they're going to hell. They'll change through God's goodness.
Right.
That's what Jesus did. He said, follow.
Yeah, so he said it's God's goodness that leads men to repentance. And when we show God's goodness, that's attractive. Rather than turn or burn, and then you come to God for fire insurance, and you're scared of him the rest of your life. Okay, I have.
So I just wanted to go to John 9, and now Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So, you know, this was the work of the enemy on this man, and he became available for Jesus to provide this work.
Absolutely. Remember, Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, not of God. Right?
We're not perfect. We're imperfect people. That's why God should be viewed as our Father as well. When you think about your own father, when you mess up, he's not beating you with a stick. He just wants you to be available like you were.
Absolutely, yes.
It's not about perfection. It's about availability. You know, I always, when I go into a setting, I just say, God, I believe, and you perform. That's it. There's nothing else I need to see. Whether they're healed in front of me or not, I'm believing that your love is on display, no matter what.
Amen. Skip.
I'm reminded about how much God loves us all, not just Christians.
That's right.
And I've heard in this class and in Bill's class about Bill Alsop, how that you don't have to be a Christian to be healed.
I mean,
the people sitting on his couch that just came in there because they had heard about it,
mm-hmm.
they were healed. And I guess that message on top of that is that God loves us all so much.
Yes.
And there's not any parameters of saying, are you a Christian? You
know, right.
Are you this? It's like his will falls upon us all. You know, whatever faith you
yeah, want. Yeah, absolutely. So, and healing is not like a reward for good behavior. When Jesus healed people, he was healing them so that they would follow God, not because they had been following God. Right? It was an invitation to relationship with God, not a reward for many years of devout service. It's not a reward, it's free. Healing is free to us. It was paid for by Jesus. That's going to be the next time I teach, I believe. All right, so Jesus sends out his first 12. Great discussion, everybody. And he gives them commission to do exactly what he had been doing. And then if we look through, I'm just going to go through a little bit of this because it encourages me so much to look at how these guys were behaving. So let's go to verse 46 in Luke chapter 9. Just the same chapter. The 12 disciples are going out, and they are healing, casting out demons, and preaching the gospel. And then we have this. Verse 46, then a dispute arose amongst them which of them would be the greatest. Now this always makes me laugh, because I can... It's not that they're walking around thinking they're the greatest. They're actually arguing about it, who was the greatest, like presenting a case of why I'm the most awesome. God loves me the best. Like they're arguing about who's the best. What's that called?
Pride.
That's called pride. Now, pride is bad, okay? Pride will mess you up. But you know from the rest of the book that pride did not disqualify them from healing the sick, casting out demons, and preaching the gospel. Because these three things are not a result of your performance. I can't say this enough. Healing the sick is not because you're acting right and God says, you know what, I'm so impressed at how many hours you've read your Bible. Let me just zap you with some healing power.
That's what I love when you don't pray or you don't do something right, or maybe you have the worst day ever, you go.
Yeah.
Somebody gets healed. That's just great proof. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's true. Verse 47, so Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by them, and he said, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is the least among you will be great. So Jesus is not out there with the stick saying, cut it out. Okay? You guys are in pride. You're done. We're coming back to the camp for some character development. He says, you know, he just teaches them. Right? Now, why would he think like this? Well, he loves them, but he wants them to do, to be effective. Right. He's like a great coach who believes in his guys and knows that if you beat them down, they're not going to be able to play. And see, this is how he feels about you. When you mess up, he's going to teach you, but that doesn't mean there's lightning bolts coming at you. Verse 49. Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. Leave the demons in those people. Stop it. Stop getting demons out of people. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But I would call that like, we're the special people. You don't get to do it. Okay? Which is, I guess, another manifestation of pride. But Jesus says, don't forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Right? Here's the worst one. Verse 51. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Lord, they are not listening to us. Can we burn them alive?
They didn't have that in the power of authority.
Can we burn them alive?
I guess they got some compassion with the Holy Spirit.
But look, this is his top 12. No, I'm serious. Just think about that. These are his top guys. Okay? Now, and he is going to trust the future of humanity to these 12 people. Seriously. And you know what? This time he finally rebukes them a little bit. He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Okay? So finally he's like, guys, we're not here to kill people. We're here to save them. Now, if that were me, if I were Jesus, I would be like, this ain't going to work. We are not doing well. Okay? But when you look in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out. So he is so pleased with the first batch that he takes 70 people that have even less contact with him and sends them out. And he gives them these instructions. Let's just skip down to verse 9. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So he sends out his next. So we already seen him send out the 12. And now he's sending out the 70. And he tells them to preach the kingdom. And he tells them to heal the sick. Now again, imagine you're standing there and Jesus has called you forward. He said, go to any town around here and tell them about the kingdom of God. And if there's any sick people there, I want you to heal them. And then when you leave and you go to that town, are you going to have to wonder whether he wants to heal people? Like, is that thought going to be in your mind? Or wonder if that one's his will. Why wouldn't you wonder that? Anybody? Because he told them to do it. If he told you to do it, you don't have to wonder whether he wants you to do it, whether it's his will or not. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So heal the sick, cast out demons, preach the gospel. Here again, the same three. Okay? Now, before I understood some things I understand now, I was surprised that Jesus did not rebuke the people when they said, Lord, the demons are subject to us. Okay? But he did not rebuke them. Watch this. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. And so on. So it wasn't, Jesus wasn't upset about it. He was so excited that he started having a praise service. He was very excited that these people who barely know anything realize they have authority over demons. And knowing his character, I can see why that would be so exciting to him. Because that means more people are getting rescued. And it's not just one person that's doing the work. Now it's 70 plus 12. It's like he's reproducing himself. Somebody had a comment or question.
I'd answered it myself. It was, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And then my study Bible says, see Revelations 12:7-12. So I'll go read that later.
Okay. So again, Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, and preached the gospel. He sent the 12 out. He told them to do that. The next time he sent out people to represent him, he told them the same thing. Okay? We're seeing a pattern here. All right, now if you'll go to Matthew 28.
Is the registered heaven the same as the book of life?
That's what I consider that to be, yes. Matthew 28, verse 18, at the very end of the book, last few verses in Matthew. This is after Jesus rose from the dead, and he's speaking to his followers. He says, All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when he said, go make disciples and teach them everything I told you to do, can we say that that includes this, since that's the main thing he told them to do? Now this is the Great Commission. So who does this apply to? This applies to us. We're included in this. We get to do these things. Go over to Mark chapter 16. This is another account of the same event. Jesus rose from the dead. He's speaking to his disciples. Yeah, Richard.
Comment.
Yeah.
Before I get too far behind. I look at this like where he says, Go ye therefore, as not like a suggestion. It's kind of a command.
Okay.
For us.
So
we've been given a command.
So Richard's making the point that this was not a suggestion, it was a command. Right? And if there's a command from the general, then you don't have to wonder whether it's his will or not. All right? You don't have to be led to do that. The leading is built into the command. Correct? If the general says, go over there and take that mountain, then you are led to do that because he told you. Yes?
I'm struck by here you have these guys who are with Jesus for 3 years.
Yes.
They see the miracles. They see the resurrection. He sends them out and they're doing miracles. And they still didn't really get it because when he ascended into heaven, they went and hid in a room.
Right.
It took the Holy Spirit.
It did.
It was like, it would have not have been sufficient. Jesus could have stayed forever on the earth, and they never, it would have not, they would not have gotten it the way they got it with Pentecost. You know, that was like, push.
Yes. So she makes a good point. So even these guys he had trained in person for 3 years, they still did not get everything. And they did not understand everything all the way through the book of Acts. There was things they didn't understand. For example, 15 years after Jesus rose from the dead, they were still arguing about whether you have to be circumcised or not. I mean, it was a big argument. They did not understand salvation by faith apart from works, even though it was true. So to me, this is so encouraging because it shows you, you don't have to know everything. And God knows we're going to not do it right. And he takes that into account when he picks us out and chooses us and sends us out. I love that. Yeah, man.
To be fair to the disciples, like even when Jesus said he was going to like get murdered at Jerusalem, it says like the disciples did not understand any of this.
Yeah.
His meaning was hidden from them.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I'm not sure how much they're to blame for their like kind of, follow through, I guess.
Okay.
I read this today, and I think it speaks to what we're talking about today about, you know, authority and walking it out. And but anyway, it says, the great thing about God is that he does not just see where we are. He also sees where we are going, and he treats us with the end in mind throughout the whole trip.
That's good.
Because that's what happened with the disciples. They didn't have it. It wasn't perfect, but he knew.
Okay.
Was going to come
yeah.
And thank God, just like on the cross,
yes.
He died for us when we were still dead in our sins.
Yes.
He saw the
absolutely.
End. And so that just helps my confidence, just knowing that he sees something that I'm going to be even in the future.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he knows the plans he has for you.
Yeah.
I think I understand what you were saying now. I didn't understand the point you were making. So,
well, it's kind of reference what she was saying about they spent 3 years with Jesus and still weren't exactly the perfect ideals of him.
Yeah. Yeah, they never got to the point where they knew everything. Right? And neither are we. And the goal is not to know everything. And see, I think that's a problem in Western culture where we equate knowledge with the ability. Like if I can just know everything, then I've accomplished my task.
Yeah, but what I was saying was when the Holy Spirit came to them, it was like a transfer.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know, it was
yeah.
All of a sudden, because as much as they had seen and as much power and permission that they had, they were actually going out healing people, raising the dead. There was still a gap missing that it took the Holy Spirit
yes.
to suddenly like give them boldness and an understanding.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Even being around Jesus.
So even being around Jesus and receiving training was not enough. Right, and that's still true today.
Yes.
Training and learning and all that is good, but that's not all there is. You need the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you have believed in Jesus and received salvation? So everyone with your hand raised, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. And he's the one that healed everybody that's ever been healed. Every healing was done by the Holy Spirit. So you have the healing power of God in you. So just don't forget that. So we're in Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow them that believe. What's the first one? In my name, they will cast out demons. Does that surprise anybody? That's the first thing on the list? Like, that's important. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. heal the sick. Again, the Great Commission includes healing the sick, preaching the gospel, casting out demons. And that's not just for the apostles, and that's not just for Jesus, and that's not just for the 70. It's for the entire body of Christ, anyone that has believed in Jesus, meaning you. Now, I want to take just a few more minutes and show you some people in the Bible that were not apostles that did this. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 6. Actually, I'm just going to do one. Acts chapter 6. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there was a complaint against the Hebrews by the Greeks because their widows were being neglected in the daily food distribution. So the 12 summoned the multitude and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, seek out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word. And this pleased the whole multitude, and they chose these people. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and there's some other people whose names I can't pronounce. But it was Stephen and Philip are two of the people that are chosen to work at the soup kitchen. These are not apostles. Okay? Come down to verse 8. Stephen, one of the soup kitchen workers, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So Stephen, if you go over to Acts chapter 8, we're going to see Philip. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip, one of the soup kitchen workers, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Do you see that? So these are two people that are not apostles doing the same things Jesus was doing. Because they're disciples of Jesus. When you see them operate, it should look like Jesus. Any questions on any of that? Right, so when we were praying at the beginning of the night tonight, I felt like tonight was supposed to be to show you beyond any reasonable doubt that healing is for you. And it doesn't depend on how good you are, how long you've been a Christian, what you know, any mistakes you've made. It's part of your commission because Jesus said so. Okay? Do y'all believe that? So I'm going to lead us in making a couple of declarations. So I'm just going to say something that's true from the Bible that I believe, and if you believe me and agree and want to participate, then I would invite you to repeat after me. So, I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
Therefore, I'm saved.
I have eternal life.
The Holy Spirit
lives inside of me.
The Holy Spirit
is
the power of God.
Therefore, the power of God
is inside of me.
God's will
is that I preach the gospel
and
heal the sick
and
cast out demons.
And
He has given me
authority
to do these things.
Therefore,
I say about myself,
I will preach the gospel,
I will heal the sick,
and I will cast out demons.
In the name of Jesus,
to the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
How does that feel?
Great.
That feels, yeah, Joe.
Can I read something?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And these signs will follow those who believe. These signs, meaning all of this,
to everybody that believes that should be following.
Yep. These signs follow them that believe. Not, it doesn't say these signs follow them that figure it out. These signs follow them that understand everything.
These follow them that are ordained.
Yeah, or these signs will follow them that are special. Okay. All right, so I'm going to pray for us as a group right now, and then we're every week after class, we have ministry time where we pray. So if you need prayer for healing, or if you're willing to stay around and help us pray, please do so. But I'm going to pray for us right now. So Father, I thank you for these wonderful truths. We believe your word, Lord. Your good will, Lord. Lord, I just want your character to just come alive to people, that they see how good you are. Just to see clearly, Lord. I just pray that, Lord. I just speak that, Lord, that we're all going to understand your character better. And Lord, I pray for confidence in each one, Lord, as they take a step of faith tonight or tomorrow or whenever it is. I just pray for confidence to rise up in them. Confidence, Lord, that's based upon your promises, that's based upon your character and your nature. And Holy Spirit, as we begin to minister in here tonight, we invite your leading that this goes the way you want it to go. And I just declare by faith that you said that your sheep hear your voice, and we are your sheep, so we are going to hear your voice. And if you have something to say to us, then we are ready to hear it. We want to hear it. We want to cooperate with you to see your will come to pass in this room tonight. So, Lord, I just bless each one. I pray your peace on each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so anyone that's going to stay...